Saturday, November the 19th, and I find myself with the legendary chef that is Aaron Craig. Where are we, Aaron?
Rockcliffe Hall in Haworth.
And why have you asked me to be here today?
Well, sometimes I wonder that myself, but we're doing tonight, down in history, say in the brasserie at Rockcliffe, where we're going to do food from the guys we had in the trenches in World War One.
I'm privileged to be able to hopefully be providing some of the poetry that was written by the great Wilfred Owen there, interspersed between the meals as well. But there's a lovely additional bonus which you didn't tell me about, actually, which we're going to have a few words with now. The ace manageress, who is Kim. Kim, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Alex?
Excellent. Delighted to see you. Now, share with us, Kim, what is your role here within the brasserie at Rockcliffe Hall?
In the brasserie, I'm the brasserie manager, and me and Aaron, we like to do events on certain nights, and it turns out this time we're doing the dining history, which fits in really well with, obviously, the Battle of Somme 100 years ago. So tonight we're doing a theme around that with a set menu going back to the war and bringing some wartime classic dishes.
Aaron, share with us some of those classic dishes that we're about to partake in.
So, obviously, I've done a bit of research on it. So the first dish is going to be beans and bacon. The second dish is going to be bully beef, which was one of a canned bit beef dish the guys had in the trenches, and it's going to be like a cottage pie take. And then it's going to be Purr's Man Fingers with rice pudding, which again was the sort of fast food of the day. It was sort of like a jam sandwich with soaked in eggy bread and then fried. But obviously, being a restaurant and being a 5-star resort, we're going to take my sort of take on it, so it's going to be quite refined. It's just not purely going to be beans and bacon, it's going to be belly pork and all, so it's quite refined, the menu as well, so it's going to be quite a good night, really.
Kim, this is something which I've just noticed, because this is just the second time I've been to Rockcliffe Hall, first time to chat about this evening with Aaron, and now, of course, this evening. What you've actually got here is a really sensational place.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a hidden gem in the North East, especially. I think a lot of people don't know about it. It is quite exclusive in that sense. And you look about, you can't complain with the views around. You've got lots here to offer with three different restaurants. You've got the spa garden. You've got the golf course as well, of course, which, you know, can be enjoyed in the summer and the winter as well. It's absolutely fabulous when it's all frosty. So,
Those hardy golfers battling through the whole process. Well, I'm sure there'll be folk from Lincoln flooding up to the northeast to actually find this wonderful event. How long have you been with the establishment yourself, Kim?
I've been here 2 years now, just over.
So you've kind of gone through the same sort of thing with Aaron. Are you 3 years now?
Knocking on 3 years, yes, now. So it's, I think it's probably the longest chef job I've had in a long time, Alex.
Obviously, class is finding its level, which is all good stuff. Kim, from your own point of view, we look back at the Great War, we look at 100 years ago from now, of course. When I was your age, I would have thought this was ancient history, but what are your thoughts on the First World War and the Second World War, of course?
I think it's vital that everybody remembers it, and I think it's so important that, you know, that we do bring it up and create events out of it, not only just to remind people of it and to kind of take you back to that history, but also, you know, to remember the people who did actually fight for the country, you know, those people who didn't make it, and the people out there who, you know, of course, are still there to tell the story. And I think especially this time of the year, obviously with Remembrance Day just passing, and again with the 100 years of the Battle of Somme, I think it's really good that we share that with people.
Any grandparents or great-grandparents that you have in your own family might have connections with the First World War?
Yeah, my great-grandfather actually fought in the First World War. He didn't actually make it to tell the story, but there's lots of pictures, there's lots of things that we've got still, that my parents have still got from when he was in there, so I'm sure he'd be looking on it as a fabulous event.
Well, I'll dedicate this to your great-grandfather. And what about yourself, Aaron, in terms of history of the Craig family?
Well, that's the obviously the most important thing about it. Obviously, everybody who was around at the time, nowadays have somebody that actually been in the war. You know, I just recently researched my family tree, and obviously I found that my great-uncle was in the First World War and stuff, and he'd been in France during the Somme, and obviously being from Ireland as well, obviously a lot of the guys from north and south of the border at the time came across and went and fought for the war. So it's very poignant, and everybody has association with the Great War, because near enough every family at the time had somebody sent off to France to fight it. So it's important that we all remember it.
And of course, Alexander Craig being one of the generals who's got a bit of a scattered history in terms of his decisions there. Presumably no relation.
Hopefully not.
Absolutely. I think from my own side, it was on the Allen and McCormick side of the family before actually working within that. Kim, as well as obviously offering great events such as this, the restaurant provides a whole range of things throughout the year. Would you like to just plug some of the upcoming treats that you got, obviously, ahead of the festive season and, of course, into 2017?
Absolutely. We've got quite a few new things getting launched in the brasserie at the moment. Obviously, we've got the new menu coming in place in about 2 weeks' time, which is always very exciting when it comes from Aaron. We've also got on a Wednesday night, so we're kind of focusing a little bit more on the weeknights, you know, they shouldn't be forgotten, they're not the boring nights as well. We've got live music playing, so that varies from singers, guitarists, saxophone, you know, string duos, lots of different types of music, different variations, all who which play for every kind of audience that we've got, and that goes with a special menu as well. With that in mind, I think, you know, a little midweek break is exactly what you need sometimes, and it's just nice, quiet evening, not too hectic.
Makes perfect sense. We actually might insert this into a midweek break in the midweek drive on Siren 107.3 FM and Southside Broadcasting. We'll probably catch some of the performances later on in the evening. We're also going to be joined by Rob Nichols, of course, editor-in-chief of Fly Me to the Moon, the Borough fanzine, and I'm sure it'll be a splendid evening, won't it be, right, Aaron?
Yeah, it'll be really good.
Kim, are you looking forward to it?
Can't wait.
Well, we have been joined, as promised, by the legend that is Rob Nichols. Rob, we've been sharing some thoughts with Kim, the manager here, or at least one of the team on tonight, and Aaron about their family and ancestors who might have been in the First World War. What about the Nichols family? Anybody from your own point of view?
Yes, my grandfather fought in the First World War. He was underage and was, I think a lot of people got caught up in all the patriotism, and he was, they discovered it. I think he tried to join the Navy and was sent back, but then promptly joined the Army. So he joined up, underage, went to fight in Gallipoli. I think in total, I think he was wounded 3 times, and with bullets in the head and plates in the head and stuff, but kept going back. He survived the war, and apparently never... As so many veterans, never talked about it again. He had medals and and obviously very gallant, but there were so many. That's a feature of the world, First World War, isn't it? That so few, so many of the veterans didn't want to speak. They'd seen things that changed their lives, and of course, it changed so much, didn't it? It changed the face of Europe, but sadly, didn't stop another world war.
Well, this is the point, of course, the poetry of Wilfred Owen that we'll be hearing about later. Wilfred himself was 25 when he was shot, just literally 1 week before armistice was declared, which is always, I think, one of those poignant moments. Having survived the Battle of the Swat Somme, having actually gone back into action, again, that whole notion. We're grateful, though, obviously, that his poetry still lives on, and hopefully we'll be echoing it tonight.
Yes, absolutely. It's the beautiful words from in such a brutal conflict. That, I suppose, that's why it stands out and speaks to us across the century.
Well, I see that some of the guests are assembling. We're currently tucked away just to provide the listener with a sort of zone, because I need to be able to sort of go in and on when I'm cued, which is all great from that point of view. But I do know, having spoken to Aaron, that we're in for a treat as far as the food is concerned. It is obviously themed around the First World War and rations, etc. But I think we'll have the usual Aaron Craig expertise at hand as well.
Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to... Yeah, to tasting the First World War experience as well.
Oh, world of many worlds, oh, world of many worlds, oh, life of lives, what centre hast thou? Where am I? Oh, whither is it thy fierce onrush drives? Fight I, or drift, or stand, or fly? The loud machinery spins, points work in touch, wheels whirl in systems, zone in zone. Myself, having some time moved with such, would strike a centre of mine own. Lend hand, O fate, for I am down, am lost, fainting by violence of the dance. Ah, thanks, I stand. The floor is crossed, and I am where but few advance. I see men far below me, where they swarm, haply above me, be it so. Does space to compass points conform? And can we say a star stands high or low? Not more complex the millions of the stars than are the hearts of mortal brothers. As far remote as Neptune from small Mars is one man's nature from another's. But all hold course, unalterably fixed. They follow destinies foreplanned. I envy not these lives, their faith unmixed. I would not step with such a band. To be a meteor, fast, eccentric, lone, lawless in passage through all spheres, warning the earth of wider ways unknown and rousing men with heavenly fears. This is a track reserved for my endeavour, spanless the erring way I mend. Blackless of darkness is my need forever, and barren plunging without end. Oh, glorious fear! Those other wandering souls, high burning through their outer bourne, are lights unto themselves. Fair aureoles, self-radiated there, are worn. And when, in after times, those stars return and strike once more Earth's horizon, they gather many satellites astern, for they are greater than this system's sun. Poetry by Wilfred Owen, who was shot with 1 week of the First World War to actually end just a week before armistice. And we'll be sharing some of the thoughts of Wilfred Owen in the trenches and his thoughts on the experiences of the First World War as the evening proceeds at various intervals. But for now, enjoy the evening, ladies and gentlemen, and enjoy the excellent food that's prepared for you. Thank you. Inspection! You! What do you mean by this? I snapped. You dare come on parade dressed like that? Please, sir, it's... Hold your mouth, the sergeant snapped. I takes his name, sir. Please, and then dismiss. Some days confined to camp he got for being dirty on parade. He told me afterwards the damned spot was blood. His own. Well, blood is dirt, I said. Blood's dirt, he laughed, looking away, far off to where his wound had bled, had almost merged forever into clay. The world is washing out its stains, he said. It doesn't like our cheeks so red. Young blood's its great objection. But when we're duly whitewashed, being dead, the race will bear Field Marshal God's inspection. With an identity disc. If ever I had dreamed of my dead name high in the heart of London, unsurpassed by time forever, and the fugitive fame there taking a long sanctuary at last. I better that, and recollect with shame how once I longed to hide it from life's heats under those holy cypresses, the same that keep in shade the quiet place of Keats. Now, rather, thank I God there is no risk of gravers scoring it with Floric's greed. But let my death be more memorised on this disc. Wear it, sweet friend. Inscribe no date nor deed. But let thy heartbeat kiss it night and day until the name grow vague and wear away. Anthem for doomed youth. What passing bells for those who die as cattle? Only the monstrous anger of the guns? Only the stuttering rifle's rapid rattle can patter out their hasty orisons. No mockeries now for them. No prayers, nor bells, nor any voice of mourning save the choirs. The shrill, demented choirs of wailing shells and bugles calling for them from sad shires. What candles may be held to speed them all? Not in the hands of boys, but in their eyes shall shine the holy glimmers of goodbyes. The pallor of girls' brows shall be their call. Their flowers, the tenderness of patient minds. And each slow dusk, a drawing down of blinds. 1914. War broke. And now the winter of the world with perishing great darkness closes in. The foul tornado centered at Berlin is all over the width of Europe world, rending the sails of progress. Rent or furled are all art's ensigns. Verse wails. Now begin famines of thought and feeling. Love's wine's thin. The grain of human autumn rots, downhurled. For after spring had bloomed in early Greece, and summer blazed her glory out with Rome, an autumn softly fell, a harvest home, a slow, grand age, and rich with all increase. But now, for us, wild winter, and the need of sowings for new spring, and blood for seed. The letter. With BEF, June 10th. Dear wife, oh, blast this pencil. Here, Bill, lend a knife. I'm in the pink at present, dear. I think the war will end this year. We don't see much of them square-headed Huns. We're out of harm's way. Not bad fed. I'm longing for a taste of your old bodies. So, Jimmy, spares a bit by the bread. There don't seem much to say just now. You what? And don't you ruddy cow. And give us back the cigarette. I'll soon be home. You mustn't fret. My feet's improving, as I told you of. We're out in rest now, never fear. Rah! Oh, crumbs, but that was near. Mother might spare you half a sov. Kiss Nell and Bert, when me and you... Eh? What the hell? Stand to, stand to! Jim, give us a hand with the pack there. God, Christ, I'm hit! Take hold! Aye, bad! No, damn your iodine! Jim, here! Right, my old girl, Jim. There's a dear. Conscious. His fingers wake and flutter up the bed. His eyes come open with a pull of will, helped by the yellow mayflowers by his head. The blind cord drawls across the windowsill. What a smooth floor the ward has. What a rug. Who is that talking somewhere out of sight? Three flies are creeping round the shiny jug. Nurse? Doctor? Yes, all right, all right. The sudden evening blurs and fogs the air. There seems no time to want a drink of water. Nurse looks so far away. And here and there, music and roses burst through crimson slaughter. He can't remember when he saw blue sky. The trench is narrower. Cold. He's cold. Yet hot. And there's no light to see the voices by. There is no time to ask. He knows not what. Schoolmistress. Having with bold Horatius stamped her feet and waved a final swashing arabesque, all the brave days of old, she ceased to bleat. Slapped her Macaulay back upon the desk, resumed her calm gaze and her lofty seat. There, while she heard the classic lines repeat, once more the teacher's face clenched stern. For through the window, looking on the street, three soldiers hailed her. She made no return. One was called Horace, whom she would not greet. The dead beat. He dropped, more sullenly than wearily, lay stupid like a cod, heavy like meat. And none of us could kick him to his feet. Just blinked at my revolver, blearily. Didn't appear to know a war was on, or see the blasted trench at which he stared. "I'll do 'em in," he whined. "If this hand's spared, I'll murder them, I will." A low voice said, "It's Blighty, perhaps, he sees. His pluck's all gone. Dreaming of all the valiant that aren't dead. Bold uncles, smiling ministerially. Maybe his brave young wife, getting her fun in some new home, improved materially. It's not these stiffs have praised him, nor the Hun. We sent him down at last, out of the way, unwounded. Stout lad, too, before that strafe. Malingering. Stretcher bearers winked, not half. Next day, I heard the doc's well-whiskied laugh. "That scum you sent last night, soon dead, hooray!" And as we begin to conclude this little evening, we wrap up with smile, smile, smile. Head to limp head, the sunk-eyed, wounded, scanned yesterday's mail. The casualties, type small, and large, vast booty from our latest haul. Also, they read of cheap homes, not yet planned. For, said the papers, when this war is done, the men's first instincts will be making homes. Meanwhile, their foremost need is aerodromes, it being certain war has but begun. Peace would do wrong to our undying dead. The sons we offered might regret they died, if we got nothing lasting in their stead. We must be solidly indemnified. Though all be worthy victory which all bought, we rulers sitting in this ancient spot would wrong our very selves if we forgot the greatest glory will be theirs who fought, who kept this nation in integrity. Nation? The half-limbed readers did not chafe, but smiled at one another curiously, like secret men who knew their secret safe. This is the thing they know and never speak. That England, one by one, had fled to France. Not many elsewhere now, save under France. Pictures of these broad smiles appear each week, and people in whose voice real feeling rings say, "How they smile! They're happy now. Poor things." Ladies and gentlemen, we will have one last little song, but before we come to that, I'd like you to join me in thanking the fabulous Aaron Craig and indeed the wonderful Kim for actually helping coordinate this evening. So a round of applause, please, for Kim and Aaron Craig. Special occasion and a special event that's all here, and I think we should all know this song because it's relatively straightforward to sing. I'm going to lead you in a chorus of a happy birthday for a fabulous member here, Mr. Davies. So once after three, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Mr. Davies, happy birthday to you.
Rob, it's over. We've won the war. We've worked our way through the whole process. What did you think of the whole evening so far?
I thought the food was absolutely fabulous. I'm interested to hear the story behind each course. I thought that the readings were superb, Alex, and very, very poignant. And particularly liked, I particularly liked the ending with looking forward after the war and the regrets and was it all worth it, etc. But the whole evening has been, it's been superb. It's been really, really good.
Thoroughly enjoyable. I echo your views with respect to the food. I thought it, when I first heard bully beef being mentioned, I thought, oh my God, where are we going with this one then? But Aaron, congratulations, well done. What is it? How's it been like from your end?
Yeah, well, easy night for us really. But it was interesting you're plating the food up because obviously I designed the menu. It was it's different to when you see it actually in the plate and how you, you know, how rich the food was and stuff like that. You know, these guys need 4,600 calories a day, and you can see that how really sort of calorific that sort of the food was. So it's quite stick to your bones kind of food, wasn't it? Really. So yeah, it was really quite good sort of serving up and seeing what actually it tastes like it looked like, really.
So you're saying that Rob will have to do lots of additional running and marathons to actually ease away from that point of view. Kim, whilst you're actually here, how's the evening gone from your own perspective?
Yeah, I think it's gone really good. Obviously, it's quite a night with it being the first one, so it's quite a turnout, but it's been really good hearing your poems and listening to some old-time classics with some old-time classic dishes.
Privilege working with you, Kim. So great stuff from that point of view. Well done. A reminder, of course, people can book this particular place. So you'd like to get a shameless plug in for the Rockcliffe area?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can book direct via telephone on 01325 729 960. That will take you straight through to the brasserie. Or you can email us or myself, kimberly.herron@rockcliffehall.com. And we'll book that in. We serve brunch, lunch and dinner open every day of the week. So, and it's nice to meet you, Alex. Thank you very much.